Welcome to the Journey of Wholeness podcast. We are a group of passionate individuals who are coaches and mentors here to help inspire, guide, and support you on your journey of wholeness. We know that the journey of wholeness is a lifelong pursuit, and we are thrilled to join you in your journey. We are passionate about sharing our life lessons, wisdom, and knowledge to help you to transform your life. We focus on teaching principles of truth, supporting you in applying those truths, and helping you to live a life full of joy.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, Jackie. How are you today?
Super good. How about you?
Outstanding.
Fantastic. I'm really excited to be with you today.
I am super excited to be here with you as well.
Awesome. I know we have some amazing things to discuss today, but I kind of want to let you lead out. What are we talking about today?
We are talking about the power of hope.
Man, beautiful.
I feel like a little backstory as to why would be beneficial.
Okay.
So, a couple of nights ago, week ago, maybe, I'm not quite sure. I had a dream, and in my dream, I was teaching a class, kind of like a Sunday school type class, but it wasn't. And I had literally no preparation time. All of a sudden, whoever was welcoming everyone said, okay, now Heather's going to be teaching us. And I was like, all right. And I stood up, and that was my preparation time, was standing up. Like, I had no heads up in this dream. And I stood up and I just started to speak, and I spoke about the things that I had actually in real life been studying the previous week. I had been studying and learning about faith and hope. I'd just been reading in the scriptures. I was doing this thing where I would pray and I would just let the scriptures fall open. And every verse that I would do that with day after day was about faith and was about hope. And so I started teaching in my dream. I'm teaching about faith and I'm teaching about hope. And in my dream, I quoted a scripture that does not actually exist, but the message of it was so clear to me. And the message was that hope is vital to faith, that without hope, our faith dies. Without hope, we have no life left. Like, hope is what breathes that life into us. And it was so powerful. When I woke up, I knew, because teachers often learn more than the students, I knew that that had been meant for me, that God was helping me, trying to get me to pay attention and to really wake up to what he was trying to teach me the whole week before. And I took a really good look at myself and at my own heart. And I realized that I had let go of hope, like, in a big way. And I realized I had to make a choice to either choose hope and reignite that within myself or die. Like, God was literally telling me, like, this is where you're at. This is the choice you get to make right now. Which are you going to choose? Hope or death? And it was that simple. I chose hope. And it's been so enlightening as I've looked at this and realized, like, the world right now needs hope. Every single one of us. And I feel like we are living in a time right now where it's easy to let hope die. It's so easy because there's so much turmoil in the world. However, when we come back to the scriptures, when we come back to truth, when we come back to God, he reminds us that hope is eternal. Hope is found in Jesus Christ, that he gives us hope. There's always hope to be had. I'm going to read this verse really quickly in Isaiah that I am seeing in a whole new light, and I love so much. It's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We look at the translation for wait. In Hebrew, it means hope. So I'm going to read it again. I'm going to change it just a little bit. But they that hope shall renew their strength. When we remember that Jesus Christ gives us and is the source of hope, and through him, all hope is possible, it gives us strength. They that hope shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So Jackie, you and I were talking about this verse earlier, and we were talking about the swamp work. Will you really quickly, before we get into that, will you explain what the swamp work is so that people can understand this analogy we're going to throw them into?
Absolutely. It actually opens us up to another story. So this story takes place when I was living across the country in Florida for a time. And when I was living in Florida, I had met this woman through some really interesting circumstances. And as we met, she and I discovered that she actually knew my aunt and uncle from my home place in Utah, and where the city that my aunt and uncle had raised their kids in. She was really good friends with my aunt, who had actually just passed away a couple of years previous to this. And I was still missing her right from that like grieving mourning time of period. So we had this really cool connection, and I was like, why are you in Florida? You know, like, Utah and Florida are very far away from one another. Like, why are my worlds colliding right now? Found out that her story was sad and so tragic, and yet she has taught and shaped my life in some beautiful ways from what she shared with me in her story. So she told me that she was married to her first husband while she knew my aunt in the town that they were in Utah. And her husband was a helicopter pilot of some sort. I don't remember exactly what he did, if it was military or not, or whatever he did, but he was just doing a routine flight one day and his helicopter crashed and he died. Like, super tragic, obviously not expected. They had, I don't remember, two or three kids, and obviously total bombshell happened in her world. Her whole world fell apart. So in the ensuing months, this is part of her story that she told me, she obviously was going through many deep layers of grief and mourning. And she realized at one point in her grieving journey, she had to, what some people lovingly call, embrace the suck. she explained it differently, but I've since heard it explained that way, right? Like, you just have to learn to embrace the suck. Meaning, how she described it was, this grief, all of this terrible stuff, all of these difficult, heavy, sorrowful, dark emotions that she was in the thrall of. She was doing everything that she could up until this moment that I'll tell you about in just one second. She was doing everything that she could to avoid it. She was resisting it. She was trying to get around it. She was trying to not look at it. She was trying to like pretend it wasn't there. And at one point, I don't know if a therapist helped her or she just came to this awareness on her own, but she realized that is a freaking swamp that I have been trying to avoid and I can't avoid it anymore. So this is where the swamp analogy comes from, is from this conversation and this story. And she describes through the rest of her healing journey, it doesn't mean that it went faster or quicker or anything got better immediately, but she decided instead of trying to go around the swamp or pretend it wasn't there or, you know, like turn tail and run, she decided to just go straight through, to get in, to get dirty, to go straight through the swamp to the best of her ability. And did it suck? Absolutely. But and what that looked like in real life is, she explained that if she didn't feel like she could go to church one day because she was just paralyzed with tears, she would stay home and just cry. She would just sit with whatever was going on with her. You know, she would feel the feeling. She would deal with it instead of avoiding it and running away from it. And it probably did accelerate the healing because she was processing and dealing with it at that, you know, in healthier ways rather than avoiding and resisting. And so as she shared the story with me, she also left me with one tad bit of advice that has also shaped my life, that everything that we lose in life, whether it's a pen, a best friend, your phone, a car that gets totaled, a quarter, it doesn't matter. Anything that we lose has to be grieved. And anything that we lose really creates a swamp in front of us. And we have to go through it or else it will resurface until you decide to go through the swamp. So that was her powerful life lesson that she instilled in me with this incredible story. And it shaped me, probably because I was dealing with some loss, really intense loss of my own at that point. And she had no idea that I was going through that stuff personally, but it profoundly touched me. And so since that time, I have used this swamp analogy to help me to understand struggles in life and for myself, as well as for many, many people that I come in contact with. And I guess to finish up her story, like, why was she in Florida? Because it's like, let's finish that up and tie up those loose ends. So she grieved her first husband. I don't think you ever are quite done with grieving somebody that you lose, but she worked through the most intense parts of losing her first husband. And a couple of years later, her first husband's best friend actually came into her life as more of a romantic partner, and they started dating and ended up getting married. And I think his work and his business took them to Florida. So that's how our paths crossed and her powerful story. So that's the swamp analogy.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I think that helps so much for us to get a visual to see in our mind what we're like, what we're doing, the work that we're doing. As you and I were talking earlier, when we're going through those things, we're going through the swamp, we're doing the swamp work, right? It's necessary, and it actually does strengthen us. If you think about, like, you do water aerobics, you know, that resistance, it builds strength. It's the same with the swamp work. It builds emotional resiliency, even though it's awful in the middle of it. This is the cool thing that I want to tie this scripture in with. It says, they that wait, or they that hope upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. That hope in Jesus Christ is what gives us the strength to keep doing the swamp work, to keep going through. And this is the next step. It says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Like, so many times when we're doing that swamp work, we want out the hope. Because if we lose hope, we drown in the middle of the freaking swamp.
Yeah.
You do. You just go under. But because Christ gives us the strength to keep going through, that hope that we have for something better, something more on the other side, that is what gives us the wings to rise up out of the swamp when we're done doing the swamp work. Yeah. It's just so powerful. Without hope, we die. Okay, there's something else coming to my mind, and I can't remember where to find this right now. It says, where there is no vision, a people perish. I know it's in the Bible, and I can't remember which book right now. I apologize. Where there is no vision, a people perish. And I was looking up the definitions of both vision and hope. You guys, where there is no hope, a people perish. You can't have vision if you don't first have hope. Hope creates the vision. Where there's no hope, a people perish. And it's just so important. The next scripture that ties into this is, and we're going to talk just a little bit about faith here. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is an action. We can't take those action steps. So if we don't first have hope, we have the hope so that we can have the faith and we can move forward and do, whether it's the swamp work, whether it's reaching to achieve a goal, whether it is simply hoping that things are going to improve, hoping for a better tomorrow, hoping for a brighter future, hoping for something gives us the strength to go on. It gives us the strength to exercise that faith.
Absolutely. It reminds me of something that I teach often to clients because it's a core truth. And I think I've shared this with you, Heather, in the past, right? That as you're highlighting this principle, right, of the vision is really the vision is hope. Like hope is the vision, right? Like it's probably this two sides of the same coin. And how foundational that is for us to have faith, which moves us into a state of action. And if vision and hope are really connected, it really begs the question of asking ourselves what images are in our minds as we're going through life, right? As you're trying to, like you mentioned, trying to reach a goal or change something in your life or follow through on something that you know is right. What's the image that you're holding in your mind? And most people don't do this work, like bringing it back to this mind level, because if you actually pay attention and ask yourself, like, what is the image that I'm holding in my mind about whatever topic? Most people will have an image come to their mind, and no judgment. The real crucial thing about this is like no judgment, but just getting really crystal clear and being really curious and having higher levels of awareness around what image is there, because that gives us powerful amount of information. Because if you have an image in your mind that is full of negativity and you're like, huh, I don't have much hope, and then we back it up, we look at the image that's there, that's probably where the problem is lying. Maybe not all of it, but like that's a huge chunk of the problem. And you have power and control over those images that are in your mind. Change the image, which takes some effort, takes some muscle, some extra, like you have to put some effort and muscle work into that. But if you change the image, hope gets stronger. The image is positive, hope comes back. It's really a powerful process. And then you naturally move into a state of action. Yeah, so I think that's super powerful to connect into.
Absolutely. I love that. And like you said, like there's no judgment. It's just being aware. And as we take time every day to be aware of our feelings and our thoughts, and if we're not feeling hopeful and we're okay, well, now what am I thinking? What image, right? It's coming to mind. And then you can make the decision. And again, no judgment. It just is what it is. And this is, okay, this is my starting point. Where do I want to be? Let's work on changing it. Even if it's just one little aspect of the picture at a time, whatever you have to do. Some people, it's like, no, clean the whole slate. Let's throw up a new picture, complete 180. Now it's wherever you're at is fine. It's just being aware. Absolutely. And I think for me, going back to the beginning, I was not even aware that I had let hope start to die. Like, seriously, hope was on life support for me.
Yeah.
And the life support was failing.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize.
Right. And like, let's talk about, I had some thoughts. I was taking some notes as you were sharing your story and things. So I want to talk, I might have some questions for you to like expound upon some aspects of your story. But before we get into that, I keep having this thought about the story of Peter getting out of the boat and walking on water towards Christ in the New Testament. And there's so many lessons we can learn from this story, depending on which angle we're looking at it from. But as we're talking about vision and hope and that leading to faith, right? it's so beautiful to see the story of Peter through this lens today, because he got out of the boat. His eyes were fixated on Christ, right? Once he recognized who he was and Christ had come, he came. His vision was clear. He had Christ in his mind. He had the hope, right? And he moved. He took action. He had that faith. And we know his story, right? Like, the winds were boisterous and the waves were great. And his vision changed and he started sinking, right? And he fell into the water, and yet Christ reached down and grabbed him, and his vision, his hope was restored, so that then he could take that action again. And such a beautiful story to think about from this lens, right? Because it's like, he started out strong, he lost it, Christ restored him to that, to the vision and the hope and the faith. And like, we go through those same cycles, right? All, every single one of us. Anyway, so I wanted to highlight that. And then I have some thoughts that I wanted to expand upon with your story, Heather. So, okay. So question for you first, love for you to share with us, like, once you, because you shared with us your powerful story of your dream, right? And this scripture that really hadn't, it doesn't exist in our current reality, but it was real in your dream. And your direction told you that you had let go of hope in your life, right? Because like, hope was vital to faith, and without hope, faith dies, and we have no more life force when we have no hope. Like, that was the intelligence that was coming to you in your dream, right? And you woke up and you realized, holy cow, my hope is on life support right now. I want you to help, like, give us an insight into your world in that moment. Like, what did that look like in day-to-day life? Like, how was that showing up? How did that manifest in your world?
Well, and a couple of things, like, I'm one, I process things. Mm-hmm. And so the realization that my hope was actually on life support didn't come for a couple of days. I just realized God was teaching me that my hope was dying. I didn't realize how bad it was. I understood he was teaching me, like, hope was necessary. My hope was not doing great, but I had to have hope. But it was a couple of days later before I finally realized it. But how that was manifesting, really, it comes down to my heart. Like, I recognized, I didn't consciously shut my heart off, but I had. You know, I just kind of shut my heart down. I've had some health issues since I was two, couple of decades later. Now I was in my 30s, finally got to the point where I felt amazing. And then I got sick again about, almost 2 years ago from the lovely virus that shut the whole world down. And that triggered what caused me to be sick in the first place when I was two. It like reactivated it. It woke the sleeping giant. And I've done over the last almost 2 years, I've done everything I've known to do and then a lot more trying to get my health back. And it has not fully returned yet. However, I am making strides all the time. And I'm still better than I was, you know, 6.5 years ago. But I realized that because I was in this downward place, with my health, I had kind of just gotten so tired that I shut my heart down, because I was tired of feeling all the feels. And that also meant I shut my hope off, because it takes energy to hold on to hope. And I was tired. And so I just kind of let it go. I was just letting everything go. It showed up. I'm recognizing it showed up as me feeling like I didn't have a whole lot to look forward to. Me feeling like my contribution didn't really matter a ton in the world. You know, not that I didn't feel worthless, but I just felt like, you know, I'm not doing a whole lot of good, maybe. Yeah, a little, but you know, I just felt stuck. And like stuck in life and hopeless, you know, it felt hopeless. Like all these dreams that I have in my heart that are so huge, like I don't know how that's going to happen. And as a woman of faith, I know God is a God of miracles and he can make anything happen, but not without hope and faith on my part first. Because he doesn't operate like that. He's not going to come in and force me to receive something. If I don't have the hope and the faith to receive it, he can't give it to me because that breaks law.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how it was showing up. I was tired, kind of not finding a whole lot of joy in life. It wasn't like I was depressed. I know what depression's like. I was like on the edge.
Right.
But I hadn't actually, yeah. I was on the edge, but I hadn't gone over the edge into depression. But I was pretty close. I had to fight every day to stay on the edge.
Yeah. As you say that, I know we can't make claims because, you know, that's not our role here.
Right.
We're here to highlight truth. And to allow people to sit with that, with the concept, right? To see if that rings true for them. I know depression is a complicated topic, like any mental health condition. And we're not here to say how it starts or how it doesn't start, but spiritually. I am so curious to know, to pay attention about the root of depression and whether or not, like, as you described this, right? Like hope leads us toward, having hope leads us to have more life force, more energy, more strength, more vitality, more goodness in our world. And yet when we diminish in that, like we get into that life support state, as you just described, all those symptoms that showed up for you, right? They might show up slightly differently for other people, but we can get our minds wrapped around that. It's like, okay, that looks like life support state. And if we're not fighting to stay on the edge, if one more step goes towards hopelessness, do we fall into the chasm of depression? Like literally down the cliff into the pit of despair that we called, that we in our modern world label as depression. That's my question that I
know that's
ponder.
I know that's exactly what I do.
That is your pattern.
Yeah. And I know when the hopelessness comes. So when hope has died, there's no hope left, depression is what follows for me.
I think I would say the same for me. That's probably a very true pattern for me. And we're not saying that that's true for
everybody,
but we're identifying
not for everybody.
For us. Yeah. Very
interesting. And I'm very grateful for the knowledge and the tools that I have, because like I said, I was able to fight every day to stay on the edge. I knew I didn't want to live that way though, because it didn't feel good. It was not expansive. And that's why I am so grateful that God gave me that knowledge that he did, the understanding that he taught me the way he did to help me realize I had to work on hope. That was, if I wanted to get off the edge and back into the fertile valley by the mountains, wherever it was that I wanted to be, I had to have hope first.
That's so powerful. To regain life, right? From being in a space of life support. So thank you. Thank you for sharing like what that looks like. I think that's really important for people listening, right? To say like, what does that mean? Like, what does that even mean in real everyday life, so that they can start identifying potentially in themselves, like when you start feeling just kind of that hopeless feeling to whatever extent, right? Or If you feel like you're just not really contributing in any big ways that matter to you, what are some other things that you said? Your heart is shut off. You're just exhausted all of the time, right? Like, one thing that you did talk about that I want to highlight is you said that you had all these big dreams, right? And the question kept coming into your mind of like, how is this going to happen, right? When we focus on that, like, oh my gosh, there's no way, right? Our mortal minds are like, I have no answers to that question. And so we go into a space of that hopelessness, right? So interesting things.
So as you're talking about that, like the how, focusing on the how is this going to happen? That brought back the image of Peter to me. As Peter focuses on the Savior, he's walking on the water and he loses his focus on him and pays attention to the storm. And I feel like, you know, that's what we do. All of a sudden it's like, how on earth am I going to walk on water?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's when we start to think. Yeah. And I know for me, there's a whole other podcast I could do on this. I call it the big H and the little H on mm-hmm. the how. Mm-hmm. But the big H, that's all God's, like the how is this going to happen? That's God's, his job. That's not up to me. It's not for me to know. God is a God of miracles. He makes the way. He's the one that knows the how. When I try to figure out how he's doing things or how he's going to pull things together, that's when I sink. You know, that's when I'm the sinking Peter instead of the walking Peter.
Yeah. So it sounds like when we take the big H, how, and take it upon ourselves, that usually becomes an anchor that drags us down. Not in a good kind of anchor way, you know, like the chain around your neck, drag you to the bottom of the ocean floor kind of, or the sea in the story of Peter. And how, like, yeah, we do that so often as humans, and it requires muscles, like spiritual and emotional, mental muscles, to learn to separate those two things. First of all, because like you didn't explain this, and we can do a separate podcast on this, but the little H how is what's in my control, right? Like, what divine direction am I receiving, which activates the faith and the action, right? And it's like, what can I do with what I have right now from where I'm at to move forward towards that vision? But the big how, which our mind loves to fixate on, I think what we do is we bring that big H how down to our level, and it just ends up suffocating us and drowning us, kills our hope. And
yeah, exactly. We lose hope.
Yeah, because our vision goes somewhere else.
And because we're not God, we cannot do what he does. And so to us, it's impossible.
Yes.
Yes. And then remembering with God, nothing is impossible. And turning our focus back to him, having our hope in him, remembering our hope, yes, to hope. Yes. And that gives us strength and pulls us out.
So powerful. So I think I have two more questions that are coming to me that I would love for us to sit with and discuss, because I think this is a powerful questions to consider within this discussion. So the first is, as we've been talking about, like that life support space, right? And like the connection between hope and life energy and all these beautiful things, right? The first question that I have for us to consider is, what are things that actually kill our hope? And I want us to kind of pull from our own lived experiences, right? Of like, what have been things that in my actual lived memories have killed my hope? Little big things, love to consider talking about that. And then kind of the opposite of that question, what restores hope? Like, what actually activates the outside? Obviously, like, we know Christ, like focusing on Christ, yes. But when you're in that hopeless space, like, what are the actual practical things that we have done, that like the tiny little needle movers that have moved us towards like the fighting, right? Like the fighting for life when you're in that life support state. Because 1 degree towards hope or 1 degree towards hopelessness makes a big difference. So I'd love to have a conversation about both of those.
The first thing that popped into my mind when you were asking that first question, like what kills hope, right? I was remembering so many times there have been well-meaning individuals in my life whom, when I've shared a dream or a goal or a desire with them, or something that God has placed in my heart, and then these well-meaning individuals not wanting me to, quote unquote, get my hopes up. Now, how often do we hear that? That's the opposite of what we want. We want to get our hopes up. but not wanting me to be disappointed if things didn't work out the way I thought that they might. They would say things and kill my hope. They're letting me know that what I'm thinking or wanting or desiring is completely unrealistic, or that it's not okay, or you know, take your list of examples there, insert. I'm sure everybody's probably experienced this to one degree or another, but telling me, no, you can't do that, or that's not what you're supposed to be doing, or I don't think that's realistic. You know, and enough people telling me that over time, and I gave my power away to them because I listened and I believed what they were saying, and it killed my hope. Yeah. I can't even count how many times in my life that's happened. Yeah. That's the first example that came to my mind of what can kill hope.
I think that's really powerful. I'll sit with that for a minute, because I think that's a really, really big category. I have very, very intense stories as well. I could probably tell that say the same thing that you just shared. But it reminds me, there's a video by Brené Brown that I watched recently. I don't remember the title of it, so I can't just like talk about it. Maybe we'll plug it into the show notes in our podcast today. But so with this video of Brené Brown, she talks about how we need to identify, she's talking about emotions and like the emotional landscape within each one of us, and how when it comes to us understanding like the stark opposites of different emotions, right? Like vulnerability is on one side of the spectrum, and like what's the opposite of vulnerability? It's like disconnection, like getting full on frontal attacked, you know, somebody's like tearing you down, being mean, like shaming you, right? Like that's the full on black and white stark opposite. Vulnerability leads to connection. All these other things lead to disconnection. We're pretty clear about that. And in this video, it was so interesting because she's talked about, we don't need help in identifying the opposites because we're pretty good at that. We know like black and white, light and darkness, like we're clear. There's enough contrast. We can clearly identify that. We as human beings really struggle with the things that are closest to that, the truth that we're looking, or like the emotional wholeness or whatever you want to call it, right? If you're looking for love, like we know the opposite of love is hatred or indifference, right? Like that's the opposite. But like, what's the counterfeit to love is what she talks about. And it's usually like 1 or 2 degrees away from love, or plug in vulnerability or plug in joy or plug in peace. Any of those little slight changes to that true concept of that emotion. And that's the thing that we have to watch out for, because it's a counterfeit. She mentioned in the video that professionals who study money and counterfeits of money, they don't study the counterfeits because there are millions of variations of counterfeits, millions. They spend all of their waking hours studying the true bill, the true money source, so that they then can identify the variations that are out there. And she pulled that into emotions, right? And so it's like, okay, So what I heard in your story, right, is some version of other people's belief systems that's like 1 or 2 degrees off from hope, where they're trying to quote unquote save you from pain, right? And like, be rational, be realistic. Gosh, you're going to get hurt, you know, all those things. And it's coded in love and support, right? It's like, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to save you from your own self or from pain or whatever. But it's not actually contributing to hope. But they think it is. But it is. It's a counterfeit to hope. And it really is this like realistic mindset. I see that all over. As a human, I've struggled with that, with my own inner voice of like, this isn't very realistic. But that's not where life comes from. That's not where my heart speaks to me. You know, it's not in being realistic. It's about listening to my heart and following my dreams and following what gives me more life, right? And so that's what I heard as you shared that. And I think it's a really big thing to be aware of. And you also talked about, right, like listening to other people's voices over time and giving your power away. Most of the time that happens little by little by little. It's 1 degree at a time. And the beauty of that is like, we can claim our power back, you know, even if we've given it away over and over and over again, we can claim it back right now, today, in this moment.
And it doesn't have to take long.
No.
Two things really quickly, as you were talking about, following your heart, right? Listening to your heart and following your dreams. The thought that came to me was to shoot for the moon. And even if you miss, you land among the stars. You know, I love that quote because here's the thing. When we choose to have hope and we move forward, even if we don't hit the mark of what we think we're going towards, we're still going to be far off better than we were had we never had hope and left where we were at to begin with.
Absolutely.
The other thing just left my mind. I can't remember what the other thing was that I was going to say. If I'm supposed to say it, it'll come back to me.
Love that. Yeah, well. Right. Okay. So last question here is what
resource? I remember.
Okay. Yay.
You guys, this is not edited. This is real. This is how I work. You were talking about taking our power back, right? And how we can do that right now. And I made the comment that like, it doesn't have to take a long time. This was one thing that was so powerful to me when I realized that my hope was on life support. It wasn't like, okay, well, let me help you. And it was just a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. As soon as I realized that and I realized what I needed to do, it was like this incredible instantaneous transformation. And it was just that fast.
Yeah.
It didn't take me, I didn't have to work into getting my hope back. It was a choice. And I did what I needed to do, which was a very small thing. And it just flipped it completely around.
Wow. Wow. That's so powerful. Yeah. So powerful. I think I just want to highlight, right? Like there's this principle in the scriptures that I know and love that says that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass. And that's what you're highlighting in your story, right? It's like, and I didn't want this conversation to turn into like prescription in terms of like, do this and your hope will be restored. Cause we don't have those answers for you. We will always point you back to your inner guidance, your inner wisdom, your North Star, your compass, right? To find those answers. But it sounds like Heather did that work when she had the realization, her eyes were opened to the point of like taking full inventory of what the situation was like for her inside. And I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming there was some sort of a spiritual conversation that happened between you and your higher power that said, what do I need to do? How do I change this? Right. And like, and you got an answer.
Yeah.
You took absolutely on that thing and dramatic change occurred.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. So beautiful. So and maybe that answers that last question, right? Of like, what restores hope? Maybe really what it is just reconnecting to the source of all goodness, of all truth, to the God of our souls, to the God of the universe, to all that, right? To light, to wisdom, to love, reconnect there. And most often than not, hope will probably be restored. You might need to change your picture also in your mind. But
usually there are a couple of things that we have to do in the process. Like you've talked about changing the picture. For me, one thing that I found that God has led me to for me is actual visual images, like creating a vision board. And it's not just about like things that I want, because it's about the feeling that it invokes. And so he'll guide me. He'd be like, "Hey, create your vision board." So even like for my goals that I set for myself, I have a vision board of pictures that represent how I want to feel. And those are my goals. It's because it's always a feeling that we're going after, the feeling, the power of hope. But yes, what you said, you know, when we reconnect with God, when we reconnect with our hearts, that's when we can be like, okay, what do I need to do to have hope restored or strengthened for me?
Yeah.
And then it's having the courage to take the action step. And like I said, for me, it was super simple and it was instantaneous. Yeah. It has not always been that way.
Right.
There have been times in my life when I've prayed for hope to be restored, months on end, years on end. I know you've walked through some of the same things, Jack. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
And it's, but like you said, by small and simple things are great things brought to pass. And so it's something. If you have the inspiration to walk barefoot every day in your yard, maybe that's what you need. And all of a sudden it fills your soul with hope. I don't know what it's going to be for another person. I don't even know what it's going to be for sure for me next time, but I do know this one thing that works for me. And that is turn to the scriptures, focus on Jesus Christ, change the pictures in my mind, have that hope and like really truly breathe life into the hope that is within me.
Yeah. Such a powerful conversation. I feel like I want to kind of wrap this up and land back in our swamp conversation from the beginning. I think as we've been talking about hope, it, for me at least, it's easy for me to hear a story like so powerful, like your story, right? And like you were led to do the one thing, you had some really powerful changes shift as a result of that. As you also identified that there are times when you and I both have prayed for that hope to be restored and it's been eternally long in coming, right? And I want to ground this back down into the swamp concept because there is value in the swamp. We may not feel it or see it while we're going through the swamp, because it is yucky and stinky and it is very unpleasant. The swamp work is not my favorite time of life.
No. It
is necessary for our evolution, for our growth, for our continued progress. I want to be very clear that restoration of hope does not always mean you get out of the swamp immediately.
Correct.
And I think that's one of those potential counterfeits that the mind can latch onto. And it's like, no, they talked about hope. That means I'm going to be out of my swamp space. No. Sometimes that does happen. Like in Heather.
I'm still in the swamp.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not 100% with my health. I'm not where I desire to be. I'm still in the swamp. But I have hope that I won't always be.
Right, that it will.
And that's why I'm not sinking and drowning in the swamp.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's what I wanted to land this back in on so that we are clear on that and highlight that there is value in the swamp, even though we don't like it.
So. No, I do not love this. I would not have chosen this. However, it has deepened my character.
Yeah.
Like I can already see the value is added to my life. Absolutely. And hope that one day I'll be out of this swamp, but I'll still be the person that I've become. You know, everything that's developed within me will stay with me because I've done the work.
Absolutely. And that is the take home. That is where the value is found in the swamp. So Heather, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your beautiful thoughts and taking us on a beautiful journey today with stories and this beautiful conversation and scriptures and helping us to expand our understanding of this concept. And we definitely want, I just feel called to share this message right now, just that if as you're listening to this today, wherever you are at in your journey, whether today, right now, in this chapter of your life is a chapter of swamp work, or if it's a different chapter of your life, hope can be restored. And like Heather shared with us, this beautiful truth that hope is vital for each one of us to have more life. And that is what we are here to help support you with. So we desire more life. And if there's anything we can do to help restore your hope, please reach out and let us know. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
From our hearts to yours, thank you for joining us today on this episode of the Journey of Wholeness podcast. We are so grateful for you. We believe in you. If you'd love more of this great content, please consider subscribing. We'd love to support you even further by you joining our Facebook group community called The Journey of Wholeness, where we talk about principles to help empower and transform your life along your journey of wholeness. You can find out more details at thejourneyofwholeness.com.